good evening. I'm a reporter here. I'm a journalist. I do political commentary, and I talk very fast. If it's too fast, just go like that, and I'll try to slow down. I was a reporter here actually from 91 to 94 when the empire collapsed, and then I was gone for 13 years. I just came back in January. And even after 6 months, you know what you say in Russia after 6 months if you've been gone for 13 years? Skolka! Skolka stoyet!
Are you from Texas?
Huh?
Yeah, are you from Texas?
No. I'm not from Texas. I'm from Rhode Island, the smallest state. But I've also lived in Seattle a long time. And I lived in Hawaii, Wisconsin, New Orleans. Many places. It's a big country, and it's easy to move around and really get jobs. And it's a good way to see things in it, actually, experience things. But I was I do political comedy. I wrote for everybody here: Moscow Times, Moscow News, WeMe, Moscow Tribune. I wrote for everybody. Like back when I have pieces now. I write for American paper, and I have a big global warming article. I have a big global warming article that should be in paper here shortly about all the latest science that means it's about two times worse than anybody thinks. The thing is, you have to understand that America isn't Bush. That Bush is an extreme aberration. It really is like it was a small band of radicals that really took over the country. And I was involved in presidential politics and several different things, back to like Hart and Mondale, who I did a television documentary about Hart, 8-hour documentary, and I produced commercials actually for him and Mondale campaign television commercials. But what happened was, in America, the Republicans took over the media, really. The Republicans generally have been the party of the rich and of a big business. But they still have been relatively conservative. They were fiscally conservative. They didn't want to spend more money than we had. And they didn't believe in foreign wars. But they changed completely with Reagan. And they started to become more and more radical. This group called the neocons, which is a very small group of people, were sort of like America's Bolsheviks. They were real dedicated revolutionaries. And they had this whole plan for remaking the world. And that included Cheney and Libby and Wolfowitz and Richard Perle. And it's not a big group. It's one guy that does a newspaper. And in the 90s, they seized control of radio. They had all the talk radio. And so the radio became this drumbeat of criticism of the Democrats, who basically cared more about, you know, people, about social things, about health care. And it was virulent propaganda, like 20, 30, 40 hours a week of anti-democratic propaganda, where the Democrats were really beaten down. And they hated Bill Clinton. They hated him with a passion, I guess, a real obsessive passion. And Clinton was you know, it was almost going back to Nixon impeachment. They hunted Clinton for 6 years, and this was funded by a billionaire who had spent maybe $15 million investigating Clinton and trying to pay people to say things about him. And they investigated some Whitewater deal, which was investigated for 6 years by three different people, and there was nothing to it. Clinton was very, very clean financially. And finally, in 99, they got a special prosecutor appointed who was one of the neocon groups, and one of these radical right-wing groups, the Federalist Society. And he finally, you know, they found this Monica Lewinsky thing where he had this affair with an intern, kompromat. And it worked in Russia. They were able to actually impeach him and try to remove his losses, which was incredible. In France, he would have gotten 5 million more votes. Maybe here he would have gotten 5 million more votes. I don't know. But he was still very popular. The public never deserted Clinton. He still had 70-80% popularity when they impeached him. And it was really an outrageous thing. But the Republicans had taken control of both houses of Congress. And they were able to do that in 94. And that was the first really insane, outrageous thing that happened from this cabal of neocons. And it was just really outrageous because it shut down the whole, you know, everything Clinton wanted to do, everything the government was doing was all shut down because this lasted a year and a half, the impeachment. I actually had an anti-impeachment group that I started on the web, an internet group. MoveOn did the same thing. You know, they raised $5 million, but they were Silicon Valley web designers, and I was in Hawaii, and I didn't even have a computer. It's a long way to go to Hawaii with a computer. But I raised like thousands of signatures and letters, and finally went to Washington, petitioned 22 Republican senators, and I think changed maybe two or three votes in the final impeachment. They never had the votes to impeach him. You needed, I think, 60 or two-thirds even of the Senate to actually remove Clinton from office, and they never had that. But still, half of them voted to impeach him, which was incredible, very, really incredible. And the next really bad thing that happened from the neocons was the election of Bush, because Bush wasn't really elected the first time in 2000. He lost the popular vote by 540,000 votes, and it was a terrible thing to watch because it dragged on for 5 weeks, and there were 10 different things in Florida. It all came down to Florida because of these electors that it isn't exactly a popular vote. It's like they have so many 20, 30, 40 electors in a state, and Florida became the key state. Whoever won Florida would become president. And but Bush controlled the state. His brother was governor. The Secretary of State was his campaign manager, an outrageous conflict of interest. And both houses of legislatures were owned, run by the Republicans. They did every trick in the book to make Bush win in Florida. There were 10 different things they did that were illegal. And if any one of them had been overturned, Al Gore would have been president. They never counted the votes in these big counties. They had a felon purge, which I did stories on. I wrote several stories about all the media mistakes in it, because the media was amazing. They first said, Gore won Florida at 8 o'clock, and everybody said, Gore's president. And then they said at 10 o'clock, nope, Gore didn't win Florida. Nobody knows. And everybody goes, oh, no. And then at 2 o'clock, they said, Bush won Florida. Bush is president. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, they said, no, we don't know who won Florida. Nobody knows. But because they said at 2 o'clock in the morning that Bush was president, he really became president. Because everybody thought, well, it was somehow stolen from him. And but any one of those 10 things had changed, Gore would have been president. One of them was this outrageous felon purge, where they said anybody that was ever convicted of a crime, a serious crime, could never vote. But it was only Florida people. They matched people in the entire country with some bad computer list to voters in Florida. They matched blacks to whites. They matched women to men. They matched people at the same birthday who were 60 years apart. It was 40-something percent inaccurate. We got the whole lists. And they purged 90,000 people. They removed them from the rolls. And they were mostly, you know, criminals are mostly Democratic because they're liberal. And although I'm sure Democrats don't want to hear that. This was a lot of votes. And this was illegal. Two judges had said, you can't do this. And so they ran it through. They ran it through, basically. And they finally had the Supreme Court, which has a majority of Republicans, and they said, you know, five of them said, the vote counting should stop. And it was a really horrible time, because we all knew Bush was bad. We knew he was really bad, but we didn't think he was as bad as he turned out to be. You know, he turned out to be much, much worse. We knew he was, you know, a stupid guy. He went to Yale, went to Harvard, but he didn't actually get any, you know, family, friends gave the institution millions of dollars and they let him in. And the thing was, I have letters from Al Gore, read my articles on global warming, which I wrote, you know, 10 years ago. I've been writing a long time on like global warming and environmental issues. And so it would have been very good for me had Al Gore become president, you know. And he was a very nice guy. He was a real decent guy. He's now become, you know, famous for this Inconvenient Truth thing. It's actually, a lot of people want him to run again because they think he's the best guy for president. And then now Bush is president. He took the 9/11, this horrible attack, and he completely twisted it like any kind of totalitarian guy to use for his own purposes. And his own purposes, what the neocons wanted for a long time, back to like 1995 after the first Iraq War, 94, they wanted to invade Iraq. They had a plan. They had the Project for New American Century, it's called, on a website, and they had said, you know, there should be some big provocation, and then we should attack and take over Iraq. And it was insane. It was insane. It was the craziest thing in the world. Everybody in America knew about it. But Bush did what most totalitarian people did. He just intimidated the opposition. Said, if you don't want to do this, you're a coward. And he had all the support after 9/11 because so many people were horrified by what happened. You know, the World Trade Center was. I was there in 2000 one time only, and it was like 6 hours on the top of this thing. It's like being on Mount Olympus. You know, you're just looking down, and the whole city is laid out below you. And it just seemed impossible that these things could collapse. It was just a really shocking thing. Now, they have ignored many, many warnings. I mean, specific warnings this was all going to happen. I had even written a commentary saying I thought there was going to be some big terrorist attack on New York or Washington 2 months before or just some little bit just from what was happening in the Middle East, because you could see the tensions ratcheting up in the Middle East. And Bush hadn't done a thing. Nobody really cared about what was happening in the Middle East. But Al-Qaeda didn't exist. You know, it still didn't really exist as Bush claimed. They were talking 50,000, 70,000 people. It was never that. It was maybe, you know, 500, 300 dedicated revolutionaries, dedicated serious Islamic fanatics. And they had these camps in Afghanistan, and they trained people. Most of them thought they were going to Israel or Chechnya or some other place. They weren't, you know, had no particular beef with America. But they used that and twisted around. And before they even caught Bin Laden, you know, already by the end of 2001, they're talking about invading Iraq, the neocons. And it was crazy. It was completely crazy. And then they made up all these reasons to do it. You know, fake aluminum tubes for nuclear, for centrifuges, uranium Niger, that they had ordered from Niger, some fake document that had the leaders from 10 years before. You know, it was obvious forgery. Just really outrageous lies. And they didn't care. They didn't care. They were going to do it no matter what. And they managed to intimidate. They had a majority in the Congress, and they probably could have done it anyway, but they so intimidated the Democrats that everybody who thought they could be president in the Congress voted for the invasion of Iraq, or the resolution that gave Bush the power to do it. But everybody knew he was going to do it. It was insane. It was the most insane thing. I did foreign policy, and everybody knew. Sunnis and the Shiites hate each other. They hate each other. You know, Sunnis have, you know, it was like 20% or 18% were ruling 60% and brutally suppressing them and killing them for 7 years. There was no way to control that country if we took it over unless we were willing to be as ruthless as Saddam Hussein. And there's no way America was going to do it. But it still was done so criminally. The whole invasion was so unbelievably insanely done. They allowed them to loot half of all these weapons, these bombs, these artillery shells. And that's what's killing everybody now. They have enough for 3 centuries of attacks at 10 500-pound bombs a day. That's how many bombs they stole in Iraq. And the Americans let them do it. They let them do it right next to the biggest bases. They just, you know, they say, you know, they're taking, every day they're coming in. Look at them. They're taking the bombs. They're going to blow up you with them. And they go, yeah. We don't care. Because the Bush idea was, we're going to leave being in Iraq for 3 months. They're going to greet us with chocolates and flowers, and then we're going to leave in 3 months. And it was insane. And what's going to happen, I think, is this terrible, terrible civil war. Probably kill a million people. I wrote the first thing about partitioning Iraq into 3 different things to try to prevent a civil war 3.5 years ago. Editors thought it was very radical. Now, the presidential candidates are talking about that. You know, that maybe that's the last gasp thing because America's getting out and to stop this horrible civil war. Because all the oil will stop from coming from Iraq. And Russia will be happy because oil prices will be even higher. it was the greatest geopolitical blunder maybe in military history, and certainly in American history, much more than Vietnam. Because there's nothing that good can come out of it. So Bush is going out now. He's been discredited. Nobody likes Bush in America. 30% of the people. voted for him. And the fact was, in 2004, we didn't think he could win. But he did the same kind of thing. If you don't believe in the knee, don't vote for us, you're a coward, you're a weakling, you're with the enemy. You know, you're either with us or with the enemy. And the enemy was the Democrats then. And he was able to scare the people actually into voting for him. The best guy was the guy I interviewed twice, was Howard Dean. Really, really smart guy, medical doctor. He was gonna win the nomination. He was 20-something points ahead in January. And the media really trashed him. They destroyed him. Washington Post, the people attacked him virulently. And he just lost it all in 2 weeks. It was tragic to see. He was a medical doctor from Vermont. Smartest guy. I mean, I asked him questions. He would answer them 15 seconds and just blow you away. He was that smart and that well, you know, experienced in the world and stuff. But they wiped him out, and Kerry became the nominee. He was okay. I had actually almost, I gone to his office in 99 and said, you know, I think you might be president someday. But Kerry had problems. And Rove was its genius. Karl Rove is his political genius. Evil, evil genius. He's the guy behind Bush, behind about half of all the Republicans in Congress. He actually picked people, airline stewardess, people who were nobody, said, you are going to be a senator. And he made them senator, mostly by slandering the opponents, by calling them homosexuals or calling them weak or calling them this, whatever it was. It was all lies. And they did the same thing with Kerry. Kerry was a war hero in Vietnam. They said he was a coward. They said he didn't deserve, he got three medals. They said he didn't deserve his medals. Meanwhile, Bush had been in the National Guard in Alabama, and he had deserted. He just took off because he had to take a medical test to fly, and he was probably doing cocaine because friends said that's what was happening then. And he just didn't show up. He went and worked on a campaign for 8 or 10 months. Anybody else would have gone to jail, you know. But he was son of a congressman, and they let it escape. So this guy that evaded service in Vietnam, deserted the National Guard during a time of war, was somehow beat a guy who had three medals by calling him a coward and a weakling. It was insane. But the media let it happen, and it was just amazing that it could happen. But even so, it came down to only 60,000 votes in Ohio. This time Ohio was the deciding state in 2004. And if 60,000 votes had gone the other way to Kerry, he would have been president. He would have lost the popular vote by a lot, I think, 2.5 million, 3 million. But in Ohio, again, the head of the state, Secretary of State, was a black guy who was the campaign manager for Bush. And he did all these things to make it hard to vote. He restricted numbers of machines. He did all these tricks that swayed nobody knows how many votes in Bush's direction. So again, you know, liberals and Democrats are just like stunned and horrified. Finally, in 2006, finally, I'm in New Hampshire, I'm mountain climbing, lose weight, you know, to go to Russia. And I worked for this in the Senate. The Democrats kicked ass in 2006. They took over everything. They took both houses of Congress in New Hampshire. They won both congressional seats. They won the only thing left. They won the governor. They won both houses of the legislature. And it was just like, oh, thank God. Thank God. Finally, all these investigations. Because Bush really has committed more crimes than all the other presidents put together in history. There was a spying thing where he bugged everybody. And, you know, there were legal processes to do it. He could have just gone to a court and done it very easily. But, you know, without even showing any of his secrets to court. And he didn't care. Still nobody knows who that is. Probably was us, the journalists, and all the Democrats and liberals. Probably were bugged. And they'll send a lot of people to jail. You watch the Attorney General now, Gonzalez, who was this little toad, who was Bush's lawyer, personal lawyer, and it was very, very involved in all these crimes, is under incredible pressure now to resign because he just went before Congress and lied and lied. Said, I don't know, like 500 times, because they fired all these attorneys who were Republicans appointed by Bush, but they fired them because they weren't trying to bring suits and charges, criminal charges, against voters and Democrats for vote fraud to try to intimidate, you know, the poor people or minorities from voting for Democrats. And this is a big scandal now. You know, it's not actually illegal, but they were doing so many illegal things, and the Republicans didn't care in Congress. So there's now five or six different investigations into all these things going on. And, you know, a lot of people think he should be impeached and moved from office, but it's a long process. He'll be out in a year and a half, and the Democrats have pretty much decided it's not worth it to do that. But still, there's huge crimes that will be uncovered for a long time. Now, like, what's going to happen? The new president? I don't know. It's very interesting what's going on now, because now you have Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton is an interesting woman.
Maybe a black woman.
Yeah, or a black man, yeah.
Maybe go with
But they're both radical concepts. Radical, radical. Geraldine Ferraro ran as vice president for Mondale in 84. I questioned her too, and she was a good woman. She's a smart, you know, tough woman, not threatening, not, you know, confrontational, but like, you know, really a really good woman. And they trashed her. They really hated her. And the thing was, the Republicans were so successful in demonizing Bill Clinton, and they demonized her, Hillary, that still about 40% of America doesn't like Hillary Clinton. Really doesn't like her because of all this propaganda and stuff that she's this controlling shrew, she's this, she's that. And even I have some problems. She was very manipulative in how she does, you know, would try to pander to different interests. But still, she's a very, very smart woman, very competent, and she has a ton of money. Ton of endorsements, and probably is going to be the nominee for the president. I don't think Obama, because he's too new. A black is a very radical thing. Yeah?
You're talking about Clinton. You're talking about Clinton, right?
Hillary, yeah.
Can I ask you to comment on something, please?
Yeah, sure.
As a journalist, it seems to be right at the top of the American agenda to criticize Russia's President Putin for oppressing the media, suppressing the media. And at the same time, I hear you saying, and I say this with some hesitation, our great country, America, we have an open and free press that can say whatever they like. And
if you own the printing press, yeah.
Yeah, and all these facts that you brought up about the aluminum tubes, about the the falsified documents, about virtually everything you brought up was widely published in the internet and
available. And it was impossible.
Here's the question: what is the difference? Suppress the media. The media doesn't make any difference at all.
Yeah, that's one of the things that was very agonizing that past few years. But Russia's, you know, it's really different. Bush looked into Putin's soul and saw a man he could work with or whatever. But no, the things happening in Russia are very disquieting, not just to America, but to the whole world. There's two things that are really, really just terrible. There's one thing about this extremist business, where now they can designate any group or anything extremist and say you're criminals. Well, that's been the tactic of every kind of, you know, totalitarian society ever. That's what they do. You say, you know, anybody that criticizes me is a criminal. Okay. You know, it's talking about free speech. And the government owns everything now. Moscow News, where I live, my biggest home, was bought by RIA Novosti. It's now owned by the government. They say, we won't write any stories that can be considered political. Well, you have two or three editors executed by Stalin. It's like, what? It's like Vlad Rostin and Stalin? It's like, no, I don't think so. But they just found, well, we don't have to execute. We just buy the paper. We just own it, you know, and fire people if we don't like it. And that's what's going on now. There's only a few outlets you can call free in Russia anymore in journalism. So it's very sad to see for me, you know, because I do commentary and opinion, which... automatically going to make a lot of people annoyed. And an editor once said, if everybody hates you, you're doing a good job. So, well, I've always been doing a good job then.
Who stands behind Bush? Who stands behind Bush?
Now nobody.
Who benefits his
policy? Well, all the companies. The guy did unbelievable things. We had $600 while Russia's been putting $300 billion in the stabilization fund, the one really, really smart thing they've done. America, under Bush, Clinton had the largest deficits in history. Finally, we were a balanced budget. We were having more money than we paid out. Bush turned around and did $3 trillion of tax cuts. They gave away to the rich, the very rich, top 1%. Half of it went to the top 1%. Big corporations, very rich people. Okay. It was an outrage. And he all of a sudden went into extreme deficit spending. That's why the dollar now is worth 42% less than when Bush took power. And why the whole economic system of the world is dangerously destabilized, because if the people who own our debt, you know, buy American bonds, that's how we fund these huge deficits. You know, China, they're one of the poorest people in the world. China and England, Japan and Germany buy our bonds. Well, the $11 trillion they have of American bonds are now worth 40% less than when Trump Bush took office. And they're not happy about it. All they have to do to cause an economic collapse is say, you know what, we're not going to buy American bonds. They don't even have to you know, buy Euro bonds. They just have to stop buying ours, and the whole system starts to crumble. And so it's very, very risky. So, yeah, everybody loved him. The oil companies loved him. Cheney, you know, Bush, all these people were deeply involved in the oil business. And
so, look, Bush is making officially $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
But where he's making all his money from?
Well, he's going to get, you know, he has oil business. He has, and Cheney never even got rid of his investments. He owns Halliburton. Cheney is going to go to prison. I swear to God.
Bush is not the same thing.
He's given
different people.
Well, yeah, but Cheney was, you know, Halliburton president, and as vice president, he's given $20, $30, $50 billion of no big contracts against the law to his own company, to Halliburton. Unbelievable. Never, you know, Cheney is just every. He has about a 10% approval rating in America. They think he's like Darth Vader, you know, in Star Wars. Everybody just thinks he's the most evil guy in the world. And he acts like it. He snarls at everybody. He's always, you know, grouchy. And he does these incredibly, you know, and he's still lying about, oh, this connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. He's still saying these same lies that he did for years. Because of a significant proportion of America still believes.
But what is Putin and for Bush?
Hmm?
I mean, okay, Cheney, he benefits from the war in Iraq. But what about Bush? How does he benefit?
Well,
they
funded him. The people who put him in power funded him for hundreds of millions of dollars. Bush had $100 million, $200 million, 1 year before 2000 election, you know, or before even the nomination process. It was done. They picked him. They gave him so much money. Nothing could stop this guy. And it was really amazing because he was such an idiot. He was such a fool. You know, he knew nothing. He had never been. He was son of a president. His father was president in 88 to 92. The whole period, his father was president or vice president. He could have traveled around the world like a prince, been treated like a prince. All these foreign countries. You know where he went? Nowhere. He wasn't curious about the world. He didn't even go to Mexico. You know, his father's president. He didn't leave America. You know, this Texas guy, and he was a Trump. 20 years he was a drunk. He stopped drinking in 1983 when he found the Lord or some kind of thing like that. But he was, you know, a very serious drunk. And so, you know, a lot of the brain cells probably aren't there anymore.
What did he
the father, father drunk?
No, George Jr. George Jr.
Right?
Yeah, they scrubbed, they hid that. And, you know, he also, his wife killed her boyfriend somehow in a car accident. Most amazing thing, never heard of Laura Bush. She ran over her own boyfriend accidentally and killed him. So this is then you go, what? It's like not possible. No, it's true. It's all, you know, she's, I don't know, 19
years. Do you think that Jeff Bush still around for president?
Hmm?
Brother?
Oh, Jeff, yeah. I don't know. I think the country is, see, that's another thing about Hillary Clinton, why Hillary Clinton shouldn't be president, probably. Because if she was president for 8 years, that would be 36 years of either a Bush or a Clinton in the White House, in the vice president or president thing. And that's not right. That's like, that's a monarchy. That's not a democracy anymore. And that's, you know, so there's Clinton fatigue from Clintons. Now everybody's looking at the Clintons as this wonderful golden time when things were good and people had a lot of money and there weren't people dying all over, and 2 billion people in America, in the world, didn't hate America. That's the other thing Bush has accomplished with invading Iraq. You know, I mean, traveling all around in the 90s, everybody loved America. It was amazing. You know, people think, oh, there's all this anti-America. There wasn't. There is now. There is now, thanks to George Bush.
What do you think about Skulls and Bones Society of Yale University?
Yeah, that was really strange. Because this guy that actually was in my dean group, in Rhode Island is now a senator, and he's also Skull and Bones. I was like, oh, no.
Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush, Bush Sr., Bush Jr., they're all in the society.
No.
Bush Jr., Bush Sr.
And Cheney was in Wyoming. He wasn't. It was Skull and Bones is an association in Yale. But Cherry was, Bush was, Bush's father was, and to have two presidents, right, two people running against each other for president, who are both in this strange little secret society. Well, you probably saw that weird, stupid movie. It was with a Skull and Bones. There's a movie, Skull and Bones, but it's, you know. And that was very, very strange. Obviously, and these people are, you know, some of the most powerful people in the world, because anybody that goes to Yale, my father went to Yale.
Greensfield also belongs to the same society.
Well, I don't know about your facts. I'm not sure about that, because I know Cheney doesn't. I know a lot of these people don't. I don't think Rumsfeld did either. I don't think Rumsfeld went to Yale. Rumsfeld was a terrible disaster, too.
Who's going to be the Republican nominee?
Let's ask a question. Well, Republicans, that's very interesting. Fred Thompson is probably the toughest guy there in terms of popularity, because he's a TV star on this very, very popular television show, Law and Order, where he plays this gruff district attorney. Now, he's a real tough, hard-fighting, dirty-fighting Republican guy. Everybody thought McCain was going to be the guy, but McCain thinks the Iraq War is neat, and we need to pour more troops in it. And America doesn't now. They want us out. Everybody wants people out of Iraq. Mind you, they don't care what happens to Iraq. You know, if it's a bloodbath, they don't care. Because as long as the war ended in a year or so, they didn't care, you know, how many people died there or what happened. They were, you know, Americans don't have patience.
Giuliani
is another guy who is probably very popular, but Giuliani is a very extreme guy. Giuliani was a real big asshole as mayor of New York City. The country didn't see that. They saw it when he was a hero after 9/11. Well, they saw after 9/11 when he became very popular because he managed it very well. But before that,
cleaned up the whole city.
Before, actually, he did dumb things like put the emergency center for a response to terrorism in the World Trade Center, which had already been attacked by terrorists. And he did some very dumb things. But he was very, very disliked. He was a very, very polarizing guy. And there's a lot of things to use against him.
He was much more popular than Bloomberg, for example.